Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to a wonderful person that we have today. Her name is Morgan Wider, and she is from Wider Style. Morgan, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Brooke. I'm thrilled to be speaking with you.
I'm thrilled to have you. So Morgan is going to talk with us about a really, really interesting, important, and often overlooked topic, and that is our style, our image consulting, how the way that we dress and the way that we present ourselves makes an impact in the world. It's a topic I feel incredibly passionate about. I know Morgan does too, but before we get there, Morgan, give us your backstory.
Oh, my backstory. Okay, so when I was in college, I was an econ major at Georgetown. Thought I was going to be a lawyer like my dad. Senior year of college, I said, I'm not taking any LSATs. I'll go get a job. Ended up working at the headquarters of The Gap. It was my first job out of school and ended up spending 10 years in corporate retail. Loved being around product and shopping. And we'll get to a little bit more of that story, but that's the professional side. And then in 2016, I felt a calling to leave corporate America. And I went out on my own as an image consultant. And I knew I wanted to help everyday people learn what I knew about retail, but also how to feel like they're worthy of being seen, how to love clothes and dress for the occasion. So I've been my own independent image consultant and speaker and book author for a little while now.
I love that story. And there's so many myths around image consulting. There's so many myths around clothing. But before we dive into the nitty gritty, how has your style evolution impacted your life and your business? So what was your university style like?
Oh, Brooke, we're going deep already.
We're going so deep.
We're going so deep. So I will tell you this. I spent most of my life in hiding. Mm-hmm. In elementary school, I grew up in Minnesota. I was the only Black girl in most of my classes, the tallest girl. And I was kind of conditioned by my parents to be really smart, but pretty was secondary. So between already standing out, between already having hips and a butt really early and being taught to prioritize my intelligence, I spent most of my college career, high school career, even early into my professional career in baggy clothes like sweatpants, sneakers, moo cardigans. I thought that that was the way to be taken seriously. And to be taken, I didn't think that I was worthy of being seen. I thought my work was. So my evolution, really, I loved clothes and was shopping for other people or in the business, but I didn't feel confident enough to wear them. And that didn't really start until late in my professional career. And now, as you see, you guys can't see this, my background's full of colorful leopard and all those colors, but it's been a journey of me getting comfortable with attention and me being seen for who I am.
Mm-hmm. And I think so many university students can relate to that. So for me, I always wore athletic wear. For whatever reason, I felt it was comfortable. And I actually worked in a sports industry. So I said, oh, I work in the sports industry. I'm going to wear athletic wear. And I started to make that my identity versus picking out clothes that reflected my personality or how I wanted to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I remember waking up in the morning and saying, I feel blah today. And rather than put some effort into how can I feel better, I just succumbed and said, I'm blah. I'm going to wear this thing. And I think that's all too common for university students because they don't have big walk-in closets. They don't have the space and the resources. So what's your advice for that?
And it's okay. And it's okay, quote unquote, to be in your pajama pants or sweatpants while you're on campus. I think the beauty of being a college student and even in this time that we're in right now is that individual expression is so important and it's encouraged and everyone wants to stand out and make their own personal brand. I didn't have that when I was in college. I think that so you had the opportunity to express yourself and dress the way that you're feeling, But like you mentioned, Brooke, our feelings cannot always, they're not always facts, and they're not always the best thing for you. And so for me, back in my day, I was so self-conscious about my body. I was wearing big and oversized. And while that's the trend right now, it was for me about hiding. And so I encourage college students to think about, how do you want to be perceived? And while, yeah, you just think you're going to class and all of those things, and you're kind of in this insulated capsule, you never know how your life might change. You might meet a professor on campus, or a job recruiter might be on campus, or your next great love of your life might be on campus. And are those, for my case, was those big sweatpants how I wanted to be perceived when I walked around? And that's what I wish I had known back when I was in college.
And it becomes a habit. And when we think about job interviews, let's talk about that as it relates to university students. Is dressing for the job interview or for the internship interview or for the work study interview?
Yeah. So I've worked with colleges a lot recently, and I've heard two extremes. There is the extreme of there's some college students who are coming in almost naked, like showing a whole lot of skin and no bras and all of those things. Or there's the extreme of I'm dressing like I'm wearing my 60-year-old grandmother's suit or my grandfather's business suit. And so I encourage students to find what I call authentically appropriate. How can you be appropriate for the job that you're looking to have, but still show your authentic side? I'll tell you a quick story. When I was giving this, I was speaking at a really big networking job fair conference for college students. And this, I was talking with one of the recruiters. It was like one of those fairs where you have like all the little booths and like college students are walking around. And I was talking to one of his recruiters, and this young woman, this gorgeous brown skinned woman, walks up to us, and she has a black suit on, white shirt, but she had red shoes on. And the recruiter said, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much for wearing these red shoes. I can write on your resume red shoes because everybody has black on." It's an identifier. And so I encourage you, students who are listening, to think about how are the ways that I can show that I know the rules of the game and I know what's appropriate for this industry, but also what's my creative spin? What's my fun sock? What's my fun necklace? What's my red lipstick? What's my hairdo? What are my nails? Those are the subtle ways to make sure that you look authentic, but also appropriate. This is not about whitewashing you or trying to put you in a boring suit, but it's about finding that balance.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you bring that up, because it doesn't have to be huge. You can wear a plain black shirt and a plain black pair of slacks and look absolutely incredible if you accessorize the right way.
And you can find an interesting pair of black pants or black blouse at like a thrift store or a discount store. It's not about spending a ton of money either, because I know a lot of us college students at the time don't have that. So thinking outside of the box. And I would encourage you, though, we're talking about black. I would encourage all of you listening to find another color. Like, we're often taught that like a black suit's the best suit. If you're going to buy a suit, whatever gender you identify in, make it navy at least, because navy is going to, again, stand out. But color psychology talks about how navy encourages trustworthiness and camaraderie and approachability. And so you'll stand out in a sea of black with navy at least. If you're going to buy one suit, if you're going to buy other suits, have fun with color. But if your first suit, make it a navy one.
Ooh, I love that tip. And there's so many gems of what you said already, but I want to reverse to something, is that income resources can often be limited for college students. What are your best tips for finding great, affordable, authentically appropriate looks on a budget?
Oh, man, it takes a little time. It takes some intentionality. So I'll say a couple of things. One, there is no shame in the Targets, the Walmarts, the TJ Maxx's, the Ross, the Marshalls. If you have one of those, any of those near your campus, go visit them. My new favorite pair of jeans right now, I've been wearing nonstop, are from Target. So take a look at those stores. I'll say it again, thrift stores where you can get beautiful blazers and things that no one else is going to have, absolutely, at thrift stores, Goodwill, or vintage stores. And here's the thing, if you buy something that's on the lower end of a price point, I need you to make sure that it fits you well. And no matter actually how much you spend on it, if you have a dry cleaner near your campus who does alterations, go get something altered. Whether you are a male identifying, female identifying, or something in between, make sure that your pants are fitting properly. They're not too tight. They're not too big. The blazer doesn't look like the sleeves are too long. Like, showing that small attention to detail will make something that's quote unquote cheap look infinitely more expensive.
Fit is so important. And when we think about fit as well, if you're investing into a couple quality pieces, which I have a couple quality pieces that I can't stop wearing, you can change the way that those pieces look depending upon how you pair them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For even I would encourage those of you who are on the quote unquote interview circuit, get you if you couple of pair of I'll speak to a female identifying right now. If it's a navy pair of pants, a cobalt blue pair of pants, and a purple or magenta pair of pants, a white blouse, a leopard blouse, and like a pink, light pink blouse. You can mix and match those things, throw earrings on, different lip color, maybe a black or brown blazer, and then you're good to go. So think about creating for yourself like a capsule interview wardrobe that you intentionally shot for that weekend. You get whatever alter, keep it clean, go dry clean it. And then once the dream job calls, you're ready to go.
And that also takes a lot of the stress out of interviewing. Because I know in my case, if I have something where it's an interview or I feel nervous, if you have what you just described, which is a set out wardrobe specifically for that purpose, I don't have to go through my entire closet. I don't have to have an existential life crisis. You don't have to shop online and spend money that you don't have for credit card debt.
Or do it last minute.
Or do it last minute. You're able to go to what you've already allotted and set out and select from that place.
Yes, yes. Even I will say, if you can, share amongst your friends, right? Like because again, investing in a suit, whatever gender identity you are, might not make sense because you may not wear that much this year. But if there's like, what is it? I don't know if you guys are too young to know about the sisterhood of traveling pants, but swap a couple of things, right? Those are ways to make sure that they get used and that they're ready, because there is, to your point, Brooke, we all know when someone went and bought something the night before, like it doesn't fit. You don't feel confident. It's it probably still has the wrinkles or the iron seams from how it came in the box or off of the rack. Like, put the effort in and it will pay off for you immensely.
And about moving properly. I have this shirt that I wore one time. I was wearing it on camera for an interview. So this is really going to make you laugh. And it was a one-shouldered shirt. But it kept sliding and it was just driving me nuts, completely nuts. And I kept like readjusting the shirt. I would kind of like shimmy my shoulders back and forth. But I think about that, I'm like, that was maybe not the best impression that I could have made. And we all make mistakes. I've made so many style and fashion mistakes. But just feeling confident in your clothing, wear them around your room if you have to for an hour. Is there any quirks with this? You know, do I have any nervous habits? Get used to the feeling on your body.
Yeah, that's so true for everybody. If you're wearing a button front shirt, make sure that there's no gaping at the holes. For the gentleman, that you can raise your arm in a jacket. For the ladies and the men, if we can see your panty line or your underwear line, your pants are too tight. All of these things, do a dress rehearsal, like you said, Brooke, to make sure that you're feeling good. Even down to the shoes, do not wear shoes that you cannot walk in, or new shoes that are squeaky, squeaky, squeaky when you walk in.
And you don't need to get blisters. Look beautiful.
Yes, yes, do not. Because then you're hobbling and that's not confident. Like, no.
Now, a lot of style goes along with body language. What do you feel and teach regarding university students for body language?
Posture is incredibly important. Standing straight, standing tall. I tell the female identifying students to not be afraid to take up space when you sit down. There's a lot of Amy Cuddy. If you search her TED Talk, she does a lot of research about this. Standing tall and making sure that you own your space and own your body. That's why some women do prefer to wear high heels, because it does give you that height and that's an option for you. Another thing that, and I'm going to switch gears a little bit, of body language is also the way that you communicate, and not using undermining words like I'm sorry or just in case or forgive me. Those kind of things are undermining your confidence and show that you might not be as the expert in this space, or you know more than you think you do, I should say, and be confident in who you are and how you communicate that, and make eye contact.
That is such a good point. And what you wear is also going to impact the way that you communicate. If you feel beautiful in an outfit, if you feel confident, handsome, self-assured, you will communicate that way to some degree. But conversely, if you feel bad about yourself in what you're wearing, if you feel self-conscious, you know, tacky, whatever it is, adjective that you feel, you will start to let that seep into your communication. What advice do you have for people to actively listen to their communication?
I will tell you this story. It was after college, but I was interviewing for jobs, and maybe 2 or 3 years ago, my mom had given me this long sleeve yellow dress. And I was like, I don't know.
Yellow is one of those colors, my dear people. You either love it or you hate it.
And it was like the styling of it was kind of not for me per se, but I was interviewing for a new job and I was in the creative retail space. So just keep that in mind. And I was interviewing for a job down here in Atlanta, and I wore that yellow dress because I didn't want to wear a suit. And I was like, okay, like this fits. And I wore the yellow dress and I put a great necklace on and a pair of high heel nude shoes. And once I got the job, the SVP came to me. She found me that first day and said, I knew I needed to hire you because I wanted the person who was bold enough to wear the yellow dress. And so I say that to say, again, finding a way to stand out and wearing something that shows that you know the rules but aren't afraid to play there and stand out and be confident. I stood out. I owned who I was. And I'm like, you're going to look at me anyway. I'm the only candidate here. Give you something good to look at in that yellow dress. So that goes back to what you're saying, Brooke, of embodying who you are and really standing in that and making sure your clothes are the closest thing that touch your skin and your body when you're throughout the day, right? So you want things, whether it's something sentimental like a piece of jewelry, whether it's good underfitting garments like a good bra and good underwear.
Now that's going to make a difference.
Yes, that's going to make a difference, right? In your clothes, they are a reflection of you, and you want to put your best foot forward in these spaces.
Do you think a lot of people are nervous to wear colors in job interviews, particularly young adults?
Absolutely. Well, in my day, I think, again, this generation, you guys are way more confident and bold than I ever was. I think that I think that color is the easiest way to show impact. If you get it, I have a couple of pantsuits back here from J. Crew that are in cobalt blue and magenta. The pantsuit, the blazer and the pant are conservative. The color is what makes that statement. Do something like that. You're not going to be forgettable in a magenta suit, dude.
No, and you don't look like a politician if you're wearing a We used to have this debate when I competed in pageants. Some of the girls for their interviews, which is a big thing in the pageant world, would wear a dress, or some of them would wear a pantsuit. And it became a little bit of a civil war. And those that wore pantsuits, the dress camp would always say, oh, they look like a politician. And the pantsuit camp would say they look like a 10-year-old girl. And so it became a big fight about, you know, what is the value of a dress and a pantsuit? And that is something to consider for females as well. If you're more comfortable in a skirt or a dress, absolutely wear that. But if you're not comfortable in that, don't feel pressured.
Again, it goes back to fit and flattering. A pantsuit can be just as inappropriate as a too short skirt or dress. If, again, you're showing your panty line, or the pants are too tight, or the pants are too big and you have diaper butt. And for a dress, make sure there's nothing wrong with showing a hint of your shape, but no skin should be revealed. Make sure that the V-neck isn't too deep, that the hem isn't too short, that you're not showing a lot of leg. These are all things that have legal ramifications, honestly, from a sexual harassment perspective, or, you know, companies might say, ooh, like this is something that we can't touch if she's dressed inappropriately. It's not fair, but it's true. So just be aware of that. But if you feel confident in dresses, I've gone into many of job interviews and jobs in a pleated skirt, because sometimes with my hips and my butt, finding pairs of pants that fit are hard, and skirts and dresses are much easier for me.
And a lot of that comes down to knowing your body shape and getting comfortable. And that does not mean that we criticize our body. And that does not mean that we talk down to ourselves or our body. But it does mean that we have a conscious awareness of what sort of clothing flatters us. And this goes for male and female, because men have body shapes as well, and we don't discuss that.
Yes, absolutely. You have to accept, you can't dress what you first don't accept. So accept that you have a big chest, or that you may have a little bit of weight in the tummy. Accept that, and don't try to force your body into clothes that don't flatter that, because again, you're not going to feel good. You're going to be fidgeting, and people are going to look at you and say, well, wait, did that person pay attention to how they left this morning? If they did, that says something about them. But if they didn't notice how they looked, then that tells me that they don't have a good attention to detail. So weight changes happen. The freshman 15 for me lasted to my senior year. Make sure that you're trying on those clothes and then updating as needed.
Mm-hmm. This helps me segue into hygiene. When we think about our hairstyles, our makeup choices, even our nail choices, what's your opinion there?
So I will say this. right now, you know, the whole trend is like being demure, like very demure.
I have heard about this trend. It's a little confusing.
It's a little confusing. So we're gonna, I want to break it down. Let's start with the makeup is the easiest part. Do what feels good for you. There's a study done, I think it was at Harvard or Northwestern, and I'll briefly touch on this. There's a study at Harvard or Northwestern. I think it was Harvard, actually. And the study was this. They had a bunch room of executives, and they showed pictures of four different women, and the women had four levels of makeup. First level was no makeup at all. Second level was like a 5-minute face. Third level was like kind of like business glam. And then the fourth level was like dramatic glam, like full lashes, bowl lip, movie star glam, right? And the executives then said, give us, the study people asked the executives, like, rate who do you think would be the most professional? And ironically, what they found was that the people who had the 5-minute face and like the little bit of middle ground were rated as being more competent, more professional, and more trustworthy. And the argument concludes that if you have way too much makeup on, people are thinking that you're hiding or not aware of cultural norms within the corporate space. And then if you have no makeup on, it shows that you don't have a good attention to detail. It's not fair for women to have to quote unquote wear makeup. I'm aware of that bias. And for those of you listening, you probably have very youthful skin and look amazing at 18, 19. I would encourage you to just put a little bit of effort into like a lip gloss, get a concealer for whatever pimple you might have, and then go from there. But that's the intentionality. If you love makeup, go for it. Just tone it down for the occasion.
I'm going to ask you a really hard question. If you could give 3 pieces of advice to a university student, they can be anything at all. What would those 3 pieces of advice be?
So much I want to say. So much I want to share. The first is make the effort. Invest in your wardrobe, invest in your hair, your skin. I know you have so much going on as college students, but make that time investment and as much monetary investment as you can in yourself. It will absolutely pay off. And honestly, the second thing and probably the last thing is knowing that you're worthy of being seen. You're worthy of the investment. You can be the smartest person in the room, but if you look a mess, they can't hear your message. They can't see your resume. So you are just as worthy as your work, as your GPA, as your resume shows. So dress like it.
Is there a quote or a mantra or something that you live your life by?
Worthiness. I have it tattooed on me. That's what my book is about. It's my mission in this world to help people know that they're worthy just as they are.
I've said before on the podcast, if you were going to get something tattooed on your body, what would you get? So you took it a step farther and you got the tattoo. I absolutely love it. As we start to wrap up, where can people find you if they're very empowered by your message? They want to learn more about what you do. Where do they go?
Sure. If there's any college administrators out there who want to have me come to campus and work with their students, I love to do that. You can find more about me at morganwider.com. And for folks who want to learn more about styling and getting help and working with me virtually or any of those things, you can go to morganwider.com as well.
That is incredible. As we start to close out, is there any last words that are on your heart that you want to say to the students and viewership?
Love yourself. And I think I spent so much of my college years feeling awkward or different, and everyone's going through that. Love your body. Love who you are. Honor who you are. No matter what space you're in life right now, it will get better. And I say that as someone who lived through some kind of tough college times. It will absolutely get better. And just honor the space you're in and love yourself and know that there's so much life ahead of you.
That was beautiful. Morgan, I've had so much fun. As you can probably tell, I feel very passionately about this, and I'm just so excited for the viewership that's going to be able to learn all of this incredible insight and tips and strategies from you. So thank you for sharing your energy with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been so much fun.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.